You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lallana.
And I am apparently Matt Gerasimovich.
Apparently, indeed. We're still looking into that one.
Yep.
And today we are covering, amid that investigation, part two, chapter 26 of Vasily Grossman's life and fate, continuing on in the days after the party meeting at the Institute, which in Moscow, which Victor has returned to. And in the intervening in these following days, people seem to think, yeah, you know what? They were right. We have gotten too theoretical. Maybe we do need to reapply ourselves to industry. And there's sort of, if the text is to believe, generally a sense of okay, maybe this is right. And then someone gets arrested, a botanist, and there's a lot of whispers. What is it? Is he a spy? Is it because he had associated with Amy Gray's when he was abroad? Was it because his wife is German? Was it because he was a wrecker? All these things, no one knows, but certainly he must be guilty of something, of course. They wouldn't arrest someone for no reason. After all, the years of 1937, as Victor puts it, are far behind us. And in the ensuing days, other things start to change. Chapizhin, who's the head of the academy, resigns and is replaced by a more party-line person who starts to bring more party people. And it's not really clear what they do, but they certainly are doing something because they're never around. But they can definitely get things done logistically. And that's certainly not something scientists can do. And we follow these trends as Victor kind of grapples with them with his family and with his friends and feeling very lonely, even when he's around Sokolov, missing the days of Kazan so recently, so near and yet so far away from this land of Moscow in these conditions. Is there anywhere here? I feel like there's a lot to touch on in this chapter. Is there anywhere you want to start?
Yeah, there is. It's a little bit longer for Grossman, and there's a couple different areas to talk about. But for me, actually, one of the things that I thought was interesting was this first paragraph. Or first two paragraphs, rather. Despite the fact that we have a relatively omniscient narrator, we still can't permeate the interworkings of the Central Committee. Each paragraph, it is not, you don't actually hear, you don't actually get insight into Stalin's words. What you get is, I think, the whisperings echoed throughout Moscow society. Apparently, the party was not principally concerned with the development of physics, mathematics, so on, so on. Apparently, he had walked up and down the hall, pipe in hand, stopping now, so on, so forth, right? So much of what you get in this chapter, there is some doubt cast on how the actual events unfolded. And it's not, I wouldn't say, of paramount importance to every action in the chapter, but it is a consistent feature of the society that everything is sort of transmitted in these apparent sentences and these apparent motives, and it's never quite 100% clear why what is happening is actually happening. And even though it is apparent, it is not certain. And so I just want to go forward with that knowledge that a lot of what we see, there is some doubt cast on like where we attribute that, the source of it, right? And I just thought that was really interesting. I marked yesterday about the use of the word apparent. I had kind of noticed it most in this chapter, but I'd like to see where it kind of pops up, just because that's interesting to me on how the narrative is actually told to us. And like I said, in this case, it's not quite from the narrator.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's a great connecting point to a lot of what we're seeing throughout the chapters on the home front with the Shaposhnikov family mostly.
Yeah, it's gonna come back.
Yeah, it's ever present. I think this is a great feature for of course for Soviet citizens reading this is perhaps for most of them, depending on their position in life, it may be a revelation, but for most of them, this is probably going to be a pretty familiar thing. But when speaking in these apparents, this is almost a phrase being spoken in a whisper, like, oh, did you hear? This is how Stalin came about to this. So there's an idea, as you say, of how these things are coming about, but it's really unclear. And we see that in the arrest of the botanist, where no one's really certain. Of course, he must have done something wrong, but what is it we can kind of guess at, given those knowledge we have, which leaves this, there's obviously a barrier. There is a line you can't cross, lots of lines you can't cross, and you're kind of certain where they are, but you're not really that certain where you are, like where they are, which is where I think you now, in all conversations, when Victor goes back to talk to Sokolov, now these conversations are so different from Kazan. Sokolov and Kazan disagreed with them and vehemently disagreed, but he sat there and stewed and he was mad about it. Whereas here, he just is like, why, you know, why would you even bring that up? You know, we just don't have to talk about it. You know the times we live in, he says. And I saw your eyes as you looked at this, referring to Victor when the first coming back to the academy. Why sacrifice everything just for a few words? And so, you know, as it says at the end of the chapter, in other conditions, their quarrel would easily be forgotten. But in this case, now they are both and everyone is living in this constant state of tension where they are pretty certain where the lines are, but not 100% certain. So someone else may step over those lines. And you may not fully be certain, but you're pretty certain they're in a gray area, and you don't want to be in that gray area. So why would they drag you in? And you want to get away from that person. And I think this helps someone who may not have lived through these experiences understand the paranoia and that would result from this living situation.
I actually wanted to read that line. I thought that was a very profound line. If two men's lives are in harmony, they can quarrel, be wildly unjust to one another, and then forget it. But if there is some hidden discord, then any thoughtlessness, any careless word can be a blade that severs their friendship. And I don't know about you, but for me, I definitely know, like, this is true. If you have some sort of issue with someone that's kind of unresolved, and, you know, you're kind of perpetually on edge with them, waiting for them to kind of say something that you maybe even, you know, unconsciously twist into being like a dagger that they're throwing or stabbing you with, right? And I think that this is especially, you know, dangerous at this time for us. Now it's okay, great, you don't have a friend anymore, and that's sad in its own way, but here it's is your friend going to end up like literally getting you killed? And so even on the home front, there is a much different attitude. It is, I don't want to say it's as dangerous as being on the front, because it's not in the same ways, but it has that similar tension where almost at any moment it feels like it could all come to an end, which is not great.
Right, right.
On the front, you know where you're at. To summarize it. Yeah, not great.
Not great. That's I suppose that is how you could probably talk about some of the tensions in this era.
Yeah, real quick. I'll just say not great.
So I think that's most of what I kind of wanted to talk about for this chapter.
Yeah, there's a few more things here, but yeah, I think we'll get into probably in our longer episodes. I hope it was a good chapter. This one made me laugh in a sad way.
Right, especially I'm sure we'll get into this more in the long one, the family situation, which Nadia is I'm on Nadia's side, but that's probably because I don't have kids.
Right. Talk to Cameron a few years from now and it's over.
So we had that conversation after we finished recording where we were like making fun of Victor, and we're like, I don't know, maybe in about 10 years we're gonna come back and be like, you know, maybe Victor is right when he said the fact that they didn't plow the snow means that civilization's about to fall down.
No, I do think I'll be that kind of dad, but I have no doubts about that. My kids will be relentlessly annoyed with me.
Look at this shoddy salting job on the sidewalk. I mean, it's like they want me to fall and crack my back.
Yeah. I can't wait.
All right. Well, we'll keep you updated on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I had for today. And it sounds like we're coming to a close here. So I think that means you will be hearing from us again soon.